Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he gathers. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Hallelujah. Bless you all. Oh, Most High, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Bless you, listening audience. Thank you for joining in another Sister to Sister conversation tonight. I am your host, Sister Ashley. And your mother, my sister and friend, is not on the other line with me. Tonight I have Sister Rachel Fairley. I'll bring her up soon. Maybe you don't know about Promised Land and Straightway Promised Land. I know you know about Praise Land. I know you know about Goshen. I know you know about Texas, which is now Kentucky, from South Carolina, and others, DMV, Florida. But I don't know if you know about Promised Land. So, very interesting, laid-back style conversation tonight. You'll be intrigued to understand how they live and the steps they've made to serve the Father. I bless his holy name. Can my audience say hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Again?
Hallelujah!
And again?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. We have Tammy, Nadia, Cheyenne, Teresa, Bella, Sakina, Amanda. Anyone else?
Diana.
Hallelujah. Bless y'all. I hope you had a wonderful, y'all inspired, busy week. I want to glorify the Father for every woman that loves him. I'm very thankful for your stories, your testimonies, what you have been through that no man knows but Jesus the Messiah. I'm very thankful for what he's doing in each of us, his deliverance, his healing, the friendships that he's allowing and initiating, the communities, the conversations, everything that's transpiring is because of his goodness. It's his goodness that leads us to repentance, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to repent. I bless his holy name for our leaders and our elders, that I even know them, that I even get to meet them, see them, watch them, be a part of their lives even from a distance. I'm very, very thankful. I'm thankful for the show. It is a aspect of my life that has kept me plowing, kept me very zealous, because I do find it very, very important to be truthful and honest in character for each of you. Thank you so much again and again for your time, especially if you are an aged mother. Mama Lillian, bless you for your presence, your humor, your works, your strength, everything, your example that you offer to us here on the land. Please say hi and give Mama Lily a hug if you can. If you think about those that are aged, when you come out for the feast, you have an opportunity to stop, take a pause, and let them know that you appreciate them. They have years of experience and a lifetime of stories, and it's a joy. I did not learn how to honor the aged until I got here, and believe it or not, as well as many of the old saints that were before me. They taught me many, many things, but Teacher Shane was a great example on how to honor the aged, and through observation, he was one of my greatest teachers, and I tried to mirror myself after him, and he probably doesn't even know it, but that's the beauty of living communally. You get to be provoked to righteousness by everyone around you, and you get to pick the best of everybody around you and try to follow Christ in them. Special hallelujahs to the mothers of children tonight that are learning how to nurture. I want to acknowledge you, because being here, being set apart, being with other women, you know, of course, being a mother for my first time, and we only get one shot at this life, I pay attention to how my children receive my affection, how they receive their father's affection, when they receive it or not, or how they give it back or not. And perhaps if I share that to you, maybe you'll pay attention to yours. We are charged to be nurturers, and it should be easy. If it's not, let Yah know about it. Talk to him. Get it right. He's done mighty, mighty, miraculous things to soften my old hardened heart. I want to thank the Father that he receives our worship in spirit and in truth, that he knows that we are but dust. And I want to thank him for the opportunity to train my husband's children. I get to talk to them, teach them, correct them, and conversate with them. And I hope you too are learning a good balance of how to talk, teach, correct, and chastise. Don't forget to conversate with your children. Hallelujah. I bless the Most High, Abba Yahweh, for the Holy Spirit, for the blood of the Messiah, for the healing testimony that my heart has, and for his law that's written in my heart. I thank the Father for Deacon Bell, who has been a tool to mold my character, that I may be pleasing unto my Creator. He has been a Savior to my body. Hallelujah. I thank Pastor Dow for his tough love. I thank him for extending a hand in the Spirit to everyone who will follow him as he follows the Messiah. I'm very thankful for his wisdom, taking so many hits upon the chin and still bearing it. It's pretty phenomenal. When you start to live any life of accusation or opposition in the Spirit, you begin to partake of, you know, a small part of the suffering that him or our leaders might live up to, and only the strong survive. So I introduced my live audience tonight for you, my Shayla. Hallelujah. No books for you, Sister Alex, and my beloved Sister Rachel coming up soon. I got a couple of, not a couple, I have quite a few things to chat about first. Without Mother, I have to, you know, find some content. So, of course, I want to announce the Tabernacles countdown, the Atonement countdown, the trumpets. It's just fun to hear, right? 18 days to the Feast of Trumpets. 18 days. 27 to Atonement. And 32 to the Feast of Sukkot. Thank you to everyone who has called in, that we may have your information. Thank you to everyone who has went through the proper avenues to get permission to arrive. Thank you to the communities. I've been in correspondence with a lot of sisters, a lot of willing hands. We have more communities this year than ever as far as sisters coming together and working together as a team. You may have come once as an individual, or you may have come for years as an individual, but now we have more groups. And so it flows so smooth with so many willing sisters. And so I want to thank all the lead women for getting your team together. I want to thank everyone who supports your lead sisters. Thank you so much. If you need us to pick you up from the airport, please make sure that you have communicated that information. You would call in and you would leave that airport information with anyone who answers the call, and they would pass it up to Elder Becker and Sister Diane, who have always taken care of that. Our brothers, Elder actually coordinates a list of the times, arrivals, gas money, or the whole nine, what car to take, what car not to take, how big it needs to be, if it needs a trunk or if it needs a back seat or if it needs a car seat. So every single person gets their needs met. Sometimes they do, you know, make someone wait an hour for someone else to arrive, but we would never make anyone wait all day. We would never inconvenience you in that way. So that's kind of how the airport runs go, and I hope everyone is, if you know you're flying, if this is the first time you've heard that you got to call and leave that information, please do so. Greyhound bus, same thing. Please let us know. In times past, just a random thought, in times past we've had wellness checks happen. Sister Amanda, you know what a wellness check is?
Yes.
Really? Come here. Come tell everyone. I tell you, it's a very laid-back conversation tonight. It's me and my audience. So, Amanda, tell everyone, what is a wellness check?
It's just an overall basic check, just making sure everything's good overall with your body, with everything.
So if the police get called for a wellness check, they're coming to do what?
To make sure. Oh, okay, that one.
Uh-huh.
That's from the doctor's office. So the police get called, just make sure that everything's legit going on. There's no harmful things going on to any person.
Right? To
yeah.
your body?
Mm-hmm.
That you're alive, right?
Right.
Right. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Well said.
Thank you.
So we have biological family members that reach out often for a wellness check for some of you who attend. Sometimes, honestly, the wellness check will come or somehow someone is checking on you from your family. And you're not even here. That's happened before where we say, who is John Smith? Somebody's here to check on John Smith, you know. That's an interesting, it happens a lot and often, and maybe you guys didn't know that, so I thought I would share it for humor or for seriousness. Hey, this year we're going to have more children's activities than ever before, and I like it. Special thanks to all praises to Most High Yah. Special thanks to Sister Diane. In the back of my mind, this was my first year that I actually asked Sister Deira to spearhead a small group of young girls, less than 10, might be 9 of them, train them up on how to be on the serving team, bussing the tables and helping us women, taking small groups at a time, you know. So this year, just selected a group or a team to work with us. And they will enjoy that for sure. If you have a small young daughter that wants to be a part Tell her enjoy being served. Enjoy being served. And perhaps she will get an opportunity. That's the hope. But we have our team already this year. And Sister Diane will be doing various things, from breaking up the children into different ages during the day and building Sukkot, or maybe reading stories. I'm not going to give it all away because it's going to be fun. But the location, the time, the event, all of that is going to be established and communicated to each of you. So look forward to that. Get yourself ready for that. It is in a little bit of a hiking location, so maybe you'll want a bag to pack your snacks in, your lunch, a little blanket, a chair. Who knows? As it gets close, you will understand more. It won't be at the tent locations, and it won't be at the chow hall or the dining hall location. So it's just a small trot away from those locations. Judah's Closet, let me pull it up. I have an email from our sister Charmaine. Charmaine, thank you. We have, she says, blessings, Israel. We're having Judah's Closet again this year. Please bring your donations for men, women, and children's clothing, shoes, coats, and even baby items. Please make sure all items are clean and acceptable for your brothers and sisters. Give as you would like to receive. Judah's Closet will open from third day the 21st until first day the 26th. Hallelujah. So there'll be a sign and a table marked. The location will be announced to receive the donations. And if you have needs, stop by and check the table out. If you would like to help me, she says, manage the table and the incoming donations, please contact me via Marco Polo. All right, some of y'all will have her Polo information. Or call the dining hall, specifically on fourth days, because she's here every fourth day. I'll go ahead and add in there, if you call any other day, we're just going to pass the message to her, and she's probably not going to get it until fourth day. So she says, thank you, Israel. You make Judah's Closet a success every year. Bless you. See you at Yahweh's Feast. So thank you again, Charmaine. A few more. I gave the countdown. What about, don't forget your atonement garments. You're going to be dressed in white if you're keeping our custom. It is our custom to wear all white on atonement. So you have 27 days. If you have a mother with many children and any shopping to do, you got to get on it. And then, of course, the ironing and the pressing and the finding those garments. You know, each year I keep my white garments completely separate in a very safe, clean place, so that I can find them easily each year for the entire family of five. And I pass down every year. I pass down. We pass around. Some of us receive. I'll be receiving this year a size up from what my son is. So if you have white clothes, keep it in Israel. Share it and pass it around. We'll accept it. I want to say just a random observation and just to tell y'all that I'm aware. I am a big part of the organization of the Chow Hall. The Chow Hall is where we meet every Sabbath now. So this is stepping away from any feast communication. But the Chow Hall is where we meet every Sabbath. So we try to keep up with the lost and found items, and we try to keep them up to 3 weeks before we discard anything. So just for each of you to know that. If you leave something behind, you have up to 3 weeks, because it really does pile up, and it's absolutely no problem at all for us to hold your items for you. I do notice the pace of our Shabbat line is very slow. I do know in part that's because of what we serve you. You know, if it's something that has a lot of toppings, it takes some time. But if you've ever been here during the week, we have a community pace and a community speed that is, it's a good rhythm. So it's just a goal in your mind to introduce you to considering the 20 to 30 to 50 people behind you, or even 100 people. But I would like to see, because I'm constantly observing, I'd like to see that eating time get down to 20 minutes. I think we can feed everyone that comes on Shabbat within 20 minutes. We've done it before. So A lot of the times it's us sisters that are in line. It's us making a ton of plates, but then we get up there and we do a lot of talking. And so I just want to bring that to our attention, that you keep a good pace. Don't do it for me. I'm not watching everyone with any kind of evil eye. Just over the grand scheme of that Sabbath, I notice we have a large line. So that's all. Just want to announce it in this avenue. And I do, last announcement, I do want to tell you guys I'm going to be at the store this year. Of course, Dine's Virtue is going to be there. Carell's going to be there. Sister Susie is going to be there. Who else? Gabby, I'm sure, will be there. What's that?
Cakes, cookies, and crumbs
is going to be there. That's our cheesecake maker, et cetera. I know I'm forgetting somebody. Mama Deirdre's been there before. We got T-shirts. Brother David's there from Culture Collection. Yah's Army. Brother Josh is there. So I'm just throwing myself out there. I've done it before, and I do have herbs. I have herbs that I've always, for years, continually sold in the background. I do have tons of wonderful testimonies because I key in on certain particular areas of the body. I don't just throw out, you know, a lot of overall information. I also support people who are doing what I do. So I support Michael Israel. I support Sister Gabby. I support any and everyone. Mahalia has done it before. Candace Gorman, Sister Erica, Fields. Help me. Something of Fields. Herbs of the Field. Yeah, Herbs of the Field. I support all of you. And so I am going to, by many, many requests, I'm going to join in this year. I'm going to have a table. So you can find, I have one particular item that is a really good hit and a huge, got a lot of testimonies in the background, and I've never really used this avenue to talk about it before, but I will provide it to anyone who's interested in a gastrointestinal cleanse and sweep. I call it my gut balm, B-A-L-M, gut balm, and I really do target the gut. It was a part of my journey, my healing. Initially, I did what I do for just me, and I didn't know that I would ever share. So if you're interested, if you have any bloating issues, any heavy bleeding issues, fungal issues, skin rash, it's all gut related. Yes, I never would want you to deny the spirit. But at the same time, the gut balm, anybody in here had it?
Yes.
You enjoy it? Yes. Results. You really, you get results. You, in order to heal, my sisters, in order to lose weight, if you're going to go any natural change, you're going to have to get what's in you out of you. You're not going to put something in you like a supplement or a vitamin and then just heal, because you can't even guarantee your body's going to absorb it in the condition that you're in. So if you're going to tank something in, you want to make sure a lot of waste is coming out. So Hallelujah Gut Balm, there's its introduction, and I won't bore you often or on this show with it, but at least with Mother Jennifer not being here this week, my straight herbs business is coming back out, my bitter waters, all of it. So you guys will see me this year, and hey, no expectations at all. I will smile when you walk right by. Anything else?
Look at the screen.
Yes, my screen, she says. My screen says, what? The Holy Days calendar will potentially, hallelujah, be available for Tabernacles. That's really good. She says our goal is to have it there. That's a great place, Sister Wenda. Hallelujah. That's a great place to have it. That's the best place to have it. Sitting on a table so people could just lay that money down and pick their copy up immediately. Probably going to go instantly. Sister Wenda, do you want to share once again, either privately or in our chat tonight, your Skype information? Did you have anyone join you last week after the show? I only typed it in last week, and I forgot to verbally say it. So I'm going to announce your Skype connection. Our Sister Wenda in Canada chats on Skype after our show every week, and you can connect with her. So thank you for making yourself available. Please give us any information that you want me to read live tonight. I'm going to jump to some, y'all know I'm just looking for fillers, content to spark good conversation.
I remember, and I've said it time and time again, I remember years ago before, could you imagine the community before any other community? I know you can't. But that's what life was like for us, you know, listening to this small voice, this shepherd who didn't ordain himself or call himself, this shepherd who can't produce power himself, right? It's coming from another source. It's coming from Shemaim. And so we're listening to this man. We're following this man. We actually, if y'all never heard this story, all of us here lost a part of our pastor down when the ministry took place. And what I mean is he was, his time was not so stretched in. His ministry was not so large. His family was not bigger. And all praise to the Most High for where we are. We're exactly where we should be. But I just want to give you that reflection for a minute that we could reach him any, you know, any moment we needed. We could knock on the door or just reach out to him when he's walking by or whatever. We lost a part of him, and he warned us. And I was ready because I believed him, and I hinged on every word. So he warned us, and he would say, Tammy, you interested? He would say, all of you who have had all these years with me, the time is coming where you won't have that part of me or that time with me. Someone else is going to need it, you know. So definitely all praise to the Most High for everyone who is having their needs met through him. And most definitely, if you are listening to a community head or going to a fellowship weekly, you are getting a small piece of our pastor. You're getting a one mind and a like-mindedness that the vision started so many years ago. At the feast, he's a very, very busy man. You know, all the elders are. Pastor Corey, if you need them, find them. If you don't need them, stay out of the way. I promise they know you by the spirit, your name, you know. Our spirits are really like beacons of light. And they really, really can stand out. And you really are known, and you're appreciated. And so if you need him, please make a way. If you're a sister and you want to get to him, speak to his family directly. You'll find one of his ishaas who make themselves available. If you can ask them what you may want to ask him, they will direct you correctly. They'll pass it up if it needs to be, or they'll have some wisdom for you. That's kind of how we do it. If you have an offering and you can't get to him, pass it to Elder Becker, pass it to Elder Rufus. That's the two that I'm aware that we utilize in that area. And if I'm wrong, I'll definitely correct myself. I like to speak my mind openly on the show so that I may be corrected in any of these ways. The Skype email for after the show, the Skype email is all lowercase flashingsteve@live.ca. flashingsteve@live.ca. And even if you can pop over and say hi, introduce yourself to our beloved Sister Wenda, who's been a part and a huge pillar doing what they do for us behind the scenes. Bless you. She says, we did not get any new requests yet for the group Sister to Sister Thursday's weekly call. Hallelujah. So she has a group called Sister to Sister. That's nice. Hey, even if it's one, reach out to her tonight. Let's go to my, so I have a sister who sent me a very interesting article, and if you're into news articles and what's going on out there, I know there's always that cutoff limit where you're just like, oh, Jesus, I just can't take this anymore, but I said, when she sent me one, it was really good, and I know that she has a good source for the news and follows Pastor very closely. I said, hey, just compile some really good articles for me. I need some content this week anyway, and I'm going to read some of this stuff off. This is just global. This is what's happening universally, so it's really, can I sadly say, for entertainment purposes, because I'm going to do a comparison, the us versus them. When I bring up Sister Rachel, she's going to represent the us that you hear even in the series with Brother Michael Israel, the spiritual combat. He's done another great interview with our brother Daniel. And, hey, Brother Michael, keep going, keep going, keep going. Hallelujah. Get everybody, you know. For those of us who follow closely and pay attention to every video, we wait on the next thing, you know. And then for others who are a little more overwhelmed or even in the background and can't keep up, no worries, right? We're just pressing forward. We want to hear every word that the ministry puts out. We appreciate your labor, the videography from every source within the ministry, everyone who contributes on the Sabbath day, Brother Daryl, Brother David, bless y'all, everybody, Jordan Salmi. Okay, more than 300 people are dead. Y'all heard it. 7.2 magnitude earthquake strikes Haiti. The Haitian government declares a state of emergency after at least 1,400 people die. Could you imagine? It hits the country Saturday morning. Prime Minister announces in a news conference more than 1,800 people are injured. That's incredible. 1,400 dead, 1,800 injured. That's devastating. Can you imagine the water they need, the food they need, the Most High that they need? It says when it comes to medical needs, this is our biggest urgency. We started to send medications and medical personnel to the facilities that are affected. But for the people who need urgent care, we evacuated a certain number of them, and we will evacuate some more today. That is a disaster. Then we have over in Kabul, which is in Taliban takes charge. Fear spreads. It intensifies. Did you see it? Thousands of Afghans flood the tarmac on Monday morning, which is the U.S. military airplane trying to take off. And thousands of Afghans swarm around the planes. You can see it in the photos, crowds by numbers, literally hanging on as the images of these people clinging to the U.S. military transport as it even leaves the ground. They're all holding on to this huge military plane. As Sister Sakina has jokingly said, it's like it's becoming the unvaccinated versus the vaccinated, you know, the new zombie apocalypse. It's interesting. I had a run in this week too at the grocery store. So then a heat wave hits Italy called Lucifer. The heat wave is called Lucifer. It breaks new records as Europe's hottest temperatures in European history, and maybe because we name it Lucifer, right? On August the 11th, temperatures in Syracuse reached 119 degrees Fahrenheit. That's incredible. So it beats the existing record of 118. That's incredible. Thousands of people flee a wildfire near the French Riviera. I used to be into watching before the ministry was big, I was into watching the earthquake. There's a name for those men that do that. There's some really incredible earthquake YouTube channels. But this wildfire started Monday evening in the height of France's summer vacation season, 24 miles long, fueled by powerful winds coming off the Mediterranean Sea. And guess what? It spread 12,000 acres of forest. Imagine this devastation. Because no one can stop Mother Earth.
Y'all can stop Mother Earth. Y'all in us can stop a storm,
right? Pastor has that testimony. But just in general, are we ready for any of this? Are you doing what you need to do to prepare for anything that could come, and don't live a life of oblivion as if it wouldn't happen. A California father claims Canaan conspiracy led him to kill his two children. Now, this is interesting because according to a criminal complaint filed in California, this guy named Matthew says he receives visions and signs revealing that his wife was possessed with serpent DNA and passed it to her children, and that by killing those children, he was saving the world from monsters. He was 40 years old. His wife was unable to reach him by phone after he left in the family van with their two children, which is a 2-year-old boy and a 10-month-old girl. Coleman arrives Monday at the U.S.-Mexican border without his children. So law enforcement officers take him into custody. Mexican authorities discover the bodies of the two children with puncture wounds in their chest. He tells investigators he knew that killing his children was wrong, but said it was the only course of action that would save the world. Demons, heaven is on earth. Husband shoots wife to death. So you go, okay, same old story, right? It's happening in so many places. Check this out, though. Investigators said that a 70-year-old woman who had recently suffered a stroke was being treated at the center, the rehabilitation center. Here comes her 70-year-old husband to visit her, and at some point, the staff hears a popping sound coming from a room. According to police, the staff later went to check on the woman and found her slumped over in a wheelchair, suffered a gunshot wound, tried to perform CPR, and that's when investigators said the nurses noticed the husband dead on the floor next to his wife. No one else was in the room at the time of the shooting, so he kills himself. Shoots his wife to death and kills himself. Now, I'm telling these stories, but I'm going to tell y'all what's going on in Israel next, because this ain't our people. This is not who we set apart ones are even scattered among, or, you know, gathered with. Alabama man shot by wife's boyfriend, who had been living secretly inside the couple's home. Frank Reeves didn't think twice about arming himself when his wife told him there was an intruder in their Alabama home. All right, Reeves has a considerable amount of time to think after learning that the intruder was his wife's live-in boyfriend, whom Reeves had no idea was living under his roof. And according to the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, deputies responded to the shooting at 9 p.m. Sunday, and they found two men had been shot, requiring transport by, of course, medical treatment facilities. Okay, so they intervened. Deputies confirmed that the 53-year-old Michael shot Reeves in the chest. And Reeves shot him multiple times, striking him in the lower leg and the elbow. All right, so during this course of investigation, detectives determined that the homeowner's wife had been conducting a more than year-long relationship with Michael Amaker, allowing him to live in the home without her husband's knowledge. Amazing. Only a few more. Endure with me because we're going to some very interesting points. I have my sister and fellow maiden of the faith with me tonight. Boyfriend, girlfriend killed days apart in separate shootings. Interesting. Family members of Wilson said the two were dating. Okay, so you have two people that are dating. And the family members are saying, oh yeah, we know about it. And we shouldn't have to bury our children. Our children should have to bury us. If you know something, say something. Stop the violence, stop the violence, stop the violence, they say. There's no suspects or motives. Who knows who did it? Who knows who hates you? Really? You can be hated and have no clue out there. You can be followed and stalked. My sister was stalked on Facebook. And it was a very scary case, in my opinion, with threats and stalking from, hey, she didn't know him, but he wouldn't leave her alone. Diagnosed schizophrenic and pretended they were married. Posted, you know, pictures of themselves together as if they were together. You know how you can crop those photos together? Social media. 13-year-old Georgia boy accused of murdering his Navy vet mom. All right, so she's 37. She's found by police, fatally shot inside her house. Police located and arrested a 13-year-old, her son, away from home where the victim was found. So authorities didn't reveal any information, of course, because he's 13, but at this point he is guilty. Next, policewoman allegedly kills her husband, flees to Mexico, where she is shot by authorities. So Clara was shot and wounded in Mexico as officials arrested her for the murder of her husband, while an alleged killer made it to the border of Mexico after the murder of her husband. She didn't exactly escape. It says Jacob was 24. He was murdered in May in Texas. His body was found after police conducted a welfare check on him, and the details of his death are unclear. Imagine the hate that fuels the spirits to act out these murders and then sit the rest of their life in jail. Boy's mother finds her son deceased in his bed after a drive-by shooting. This is what's going on out there. I know y'all know, but I'm telling you, fear is gripping people's hearts. And the push of this type of media, too. Brown's mother found her son deceased in his own bed after a vehicle drove by their house and opened fire. That's been going on for generations, right? With your melanated people. Several people were home when the shooting happened. The police department said they are saddened by the tragic loss the city experienced. You know they don't care. You know they don't. Our thoughts and our prayers go out to the family. What is the current distribution and vaccination status? The total doses distributed across just the United States, 477,975. Wow. People who received the first dose, right at 200 million. Biden is to require vaccines for all nursing home staff in the United States. Biden will announce Wednesday afternoon in a White House address, that would be this Wednesday, yesterday, to look for ways to use mandates to encourage vaccines. Oh, they're looking, right? And then, of course, as always, Northern California hit every year by fire. Goes from 6,000-acre fire to 54,000-acre fire in one day. It's a dynamo. And then, wow, UK scientists, this is it. This is my last one. Thanks for hanging in there with me. UK scientists behind the AstraZeneca COVID jab have given the first trial volunteers a new plague vaccine. All right, so some are saying plague already. The phase one trial will see at least 40 healthy 18 to 55-year-olds test the vaccine. You're healthy. Nothing's wrong. Okay? And we're going to use the same technology as the coronavirus jab. Its target is a century-old bacterial threat, not even the new pandemic virus. So much of the world plague is a history lesson, like the infamous plague pandemic, the Black Death, that swept through Europe in the 1300s. All right? That's what's going on. And I know you guys have probably seen tons of things, tons of conditions, met people, heard stories, read articles, watched videos. If we could compile all of our information into one show, it would be incredible, right? Because depending on who you are or what pops in your recommended or what kind of time you spend out there, I am thankful that our shepherd is a fisher. You know, he really is our news source. And one of my sisters was so excited years ago to find out that Shepherd was into politics, because she was. So, wow, right? Cool. A Jeremiah 3:15 pastor into politics. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even know who was president. I have never cared, but like he says, ignorant Americans, you know, that don't care are, that's not a good place to be. Let's put it like that. So his awareness keeps me alert to what I should know. Right, Sakina?
Yeah.
Yes, she's one of those that keeps me from sleeping. All right, I'm pulling up my sister, Rachel Fairley. You're going to see why. You're going to like this. Sister Rachel Fairley, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you clear.
Hallelujah. Thanks for the sound checks, everyone. Bless y'all. Thanks for tuning in to the Elder segments and all the avenues that we have. Thanks for tuning in to Deacon Bell's last message. Thank you, Brother Ugly. Hallelujah. All right. Sister Rachel, how do we even start? I'm going to try not to ruin it by telling everyone the state of your community at this time, because it's very inspiring. I want to take you all the way back to the beginnings. So let everybody know where you're from, your name, and any detailed information about how you came across Straightway.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Rachel Fairley, and I live at Straightway Promised Land, a community in Tennessee. Let's see. You said any background?
Yes. How did you find Pastor Dow? How did you find Straightway?
Oh, okay. Well, in 2011, I left the Christian faith completely because I realized that it just wasn't in alignment with the Bible, and I began searching and seeking, and so I was online for years looking up everything that had to do with, you know, following Torah and any groups that had to do with it and keeping the Shabbat and everything. And then in 2013, Pastor Dow kept coming up in every one of my searches on YouTube. And basically that's how I found him.
Hallelujah. Before living communally, okay, everyone who's listening, communally means you're abiding under one roof or on one property, and maybe the saints have different homes, maybe they share homes, if that's the dynamics, especially in the early stages. But before living communally, which we'll talk about your current circumstances soon, what was your home like when you just came across Pastor? What was your home like? Who was in your home? How big was your family? Talk to me about your living circumstance.
Yes, ma'am. When I very first came across Pastor, it was myself, my husband, Brother Will Fairley, and three of my children. No, four of my children. So I had two daughters and two sons. And then myself and my husband just living like, you know, a regular American family in a single family home.
How large was your home? How many square feet, for example?
Oh, goodness. We lived in multiple homes. I think I had told you when we, right before, let's see, the home that we actually began as a communal home that we were already living in was about 3,600 square feet. And at that time, it was just our two sons, my husband and I. It was a large home.
Hallelujah. And I want everyone to realize, like, you know, as we walk our way through her journey and the people that are with her, you'll see how she just began to shed more and more things, whether it was materials or ways, et cetera. So, who came to the faith first, you or your husband?
I came to the faith first.
And I had said to you privately for the first time this week when I told you that I wanted to bring you on. You came out this week. You came onto the land. I invited her. I called up and invited her and her crew, some of her sisters, to our land this week. We had what I just called Apple Day. We processed a lot of apples. We did many other things. We stayed busy the entire day. We started 6:15 in the morning, we finished at dinner, and she didn't even finish at dinner. We even did a project after that. But I said to her for the first time, I said, I believe that you won your husband over to this faith,
am I correct in saying that I believe that? And I know you won't have the exact same answer, but could you tell them a little bit about your heart and if you agree or not?
It's difficult for me to take any credit for bringing my husband to the faith. I definitely see the hand of Yah in everything leading up to it.
And that's
so
a beautiful...
I think...
I'm
yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I believe that, you know, Yah deserves all the credit and that my master was chosen before I even thought of seeking the faith, you know.
Hallelujah. Beautiful. She had a beautiful, humble answer. And from my outward perspective and knowing just a little bit about, okay, this woman came first. Initially, she came with her children and no husband. I didn't know, was she married or what her marriage status was like. The next thing I knew from my perspective was months later and the next feast, her husband came. And then he continued to come. I also remember in the early stages, you were coming here for a baptism and you had permission from him to swing by and stay for a couple of hours. And I remember that story. So boots on the ground, your first experience here at Straightway, you're swinging by just to get baptized. Tell everybody what that Blog Talk conversation was like when you called in to Pastor's show.
Okay. So I called into Pastor's show on that sixth day. I didn't really know what was going on at Straightway at that time, but I knew that we were going to be traveling nearby there at that time. And so I called Pastor and I said, I just asked him, you know, can I stop by and get baptized? I can't stay. I have a special circumstance, but I really want to get baptized. And at that time, Pastor said, "Sister, if you come by here, I'll stop everything I'm doing and baptize you myself."
Hallelujah. I remember I remember your tears even when you got here. And I remember that Blog Talk, believe it or not. You do too?
Yes.
We have some in the audience that believes as well. Okay, so now you're boots on the ground. And now it's your first time here, and now you got 2 hours to stay to honor your husband's request of getting back on the road. And he had never been here, and at that time had not committed to the faith. So what was your experience like here for those 2 hours?
Wow, there was so much peace on the land, so much love. I believe that I told you, and I'll say again, that the Father took those 2 hours and stretched them out tremendously. I was able to get baptized, and I was able to begin relationships with sisters, learn how to use my weapon. I just did so much during those 2 hours, and it was really important to me to definitely get back on the road at that two-hour mark to honor the fact that my husband, you know, gave me the go-ahead to come by and do that. So
beautiful. Since you were learning how to be, okay, from the very first time you landed on the videos to the visit, everything was brand new. Do you think that you were pushy to your husband? Do you think you made mistakes? Do you think you, how could you speak to anyone else who might have a husband that's not committed yet?
Yes, ma'am. I made so many mistakes. I was so excited for every truth that I found, and I just would go barreling into it, with no regard for my husband's feelings, just even as a person, let alone the head of the house. And I I didn't have any respect or regard for how he felt about giving up Christmas or how he felt about not celebrating birthdays. I was just really excited, but I was way out of order, and it could have been a lot different had I handled it, you know, differently, had I been in order, had I been respectful and submissive and honoring to my husband. It wouldn't have been such an affront to him.
Well spoken, and you answered very well to the point, and I've always enjoyed your conversation style, so bless you thus far. It's going well. Y'all enjoying it?
Yeah.
Nice to hear, right?
Yeah.
No one, everyone has an amazing story,
yeah.
Right? But perhaps everyone hasn't heard yours. So if someone's listening and they want to approach their unbelieving husband with the truth or any truth, what could you share with them on how to do it or not to do it?
What I would say is first and foremost, win him by your chaste conversation. You don't have to bully your way through or talk too much. And I think a good example is given to us in the story of Esther and how she approached the king. And essentially, our husbands are our kings. So I would just say, you know, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Be the meek and quiet woman that Yah has created you to be. Honor your husband and respect him in all things, and approach him with honor and respect, and don't do what I did.
Hallelujah. I love hearing from those who are experienced. It makes more of an impact. What made your husband come around? I enjoy this part of your story. Why did he come for the first time?
Well, fast forwarding after came to the land to get baptized, there was a feast, the Feast of Tabernacles, shortly after that, which we did not make it. We didn't come. We didn't get permission to come. And I believe because I did honor that two-hour stipulation that my husband gave me to be on the land, that it built up a little bit of trust that I didn't really have up to that point. So for that following Passover, he gave permission for his two sons and myself to attend Passover. So we went and we attended Passover, and during that time, like toward the end of Passover, Pastor spoke to me just briefly, and he asked me about my husband. You know, I think he was curious maybe as to why I was there, you know, without my husband. And at the end of that conversation, he said, when you get home, I want you to tell your husband, be at Tabernacles, no excuses, which was pretty terrifying to me because, like I told you, Sister Ashley, my husband is a command man, and he does the telling. He doesn't get told. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So I obeyed that, even though I was really scared to say it. I delivered the message from Pastor exactly the way that he told me to deliver it. And my husband's response was, okay, I'll be there. That was it. And he never missed another feast since.
I love it. That's nice, right?
Yeah.
Tell me Pastor's not led, right?
Yeah.
I'll call you a liar. So you would call your husband Israel in the early days of him, you know, leading or even just learning. What was that like? Please explain your heart when you would honor him that way.
Yes, ma'am. So before my husband came into the faith, I liked to speak it though as though it were, and so I would, my self-dialogue regarding him would be as if he was Israel, and I was recounting a time to you when I even called him Israel. In fact, I remember calling him for dinner and saying, "Hey, Israel, time for dinner." And he looked over his shoulder at me and said, "My name's not Israel, it's Jehoshaphat." and I still giggle about that today, but that was basically, I just knew in my heart of hearts, since the day I met him, actually, before we were married, before I was in the truth, any of that, so before I was even seeking, that that there was something special about him. And so I wasn't willing to believe what my eyes were seeing. I just wanted to stand on what I knew in my heart to be true.
Beautiful. One good godly characteristic about a righteous woman is that she elevates her husband amongst friends. She speaks kindly and highly of her husband around companions. And I do acknowledge you have always done that from the beginning. It's admirable about you as well as other sisters. Now, excluding when you need counsel, when you need help, when you have something going on and you're communicating with your deliverance worker or your counselor, of course, you're going to use that freedom righteously. But in the grand scheme, my sisters, we speak very highly of our husbands around one another, and we do not disclose any family business for dishonor's sake, you know, to anyone outside the home. And good job. So I remember meeting you, and I remember you getting baptized, and I remember you, your husband letting you come to Straightway. I remember your first phone call, you know, to Blog Talk, and I'm thinking when it was your first time coming, and now fast forward to his first time coming, as a man leading you, what did you admire? What did you notice after his first visit here?
I think the thing that I admired the most and the thing that I noticed the most is that once Brother Will made a decision, he just was 100% both feet in, like all in. And he never looked back from that time forward. I remember the first tabernacle that he attended. I watched him as he sat back and observed, you know, and being a woman, you know, we've got all kinds of questions and wonder in our mind about how things are going and everything. And I look back now and I know that he was really just taking everything in and learning and absorbing, but he never looked back. He never doubted his decision. He just was 100% both feet in until this moment. And that's, I really admire that about him.
I do too. I really do too. I know, you know, women can acknowledge righteous women, and women can acknowledge sound men. You know, it's something that you just know in your spirit. You judge people by their fruit. So I'm building this story because, do you remember the first time that you heard come out of her? And I'm just meaning in a personal, in your heart, not how your husband responded or not any of the footwork yet. Just what was that message like for you? Yeah, come out of her. What did it mean to you?
For me, I just remember my eyes being open to how different my life was in comparison to what the scriptures required of me. And coming out of her to me meant just no longer living like everyone else, you know, no longer that I should be different, that I should be noticeably different. And I never, I know there's a lot of people who had issue, you know, they would have to overcome. I know a lot of sisters that have had to overcome various issues, you know, covering the head or wearing modest clothing and things like that. For me, I read the Bible for myself. I knew what I had wasn't it, and I just coming out of her meant ridding myself of all of that other life completely.
Well put. So since you were so on board, and then of course the audience doesn't know what your husband was like or if he was on board, but you guys developed a home fellowship. Was it Arizona, your first one?
Yes. We fellowshipped in our home in Arizona. And hold on a second. I've got to let my master in. There you go. I apologize. We fellowshipped in our home. In Arizona, and initially, it was me and Brother Jesus and Sister Justice, and then of course our children. Brother Will would be there, but he would just kind of be chilling in the background.
And so, you have a fellowship, it's under your roof, you're meeting on Shabbat, it begins to grow a little. You lived communal in that home for how long with how many others?
It started out that we had one family move in, a family of three move in together with me, Brother Will, and our two boys. And then I think maybe, was it a year later that the Nelsons moved in, honey?
Maybe, but you was actually, you were trying to get away from us. It was fun to move in.
Okay. So after we started going to Feast, we built relationship with the Nelson family who lived in California at that time, and they were only a couple hours away from us, so they started fellowshipping. And then by the following year, they had moved in with us. So I'm going to say we were living communally in that home for a year, year and a half before we moved out of it.
Year, year and a half. And that's some pretty quick moving. And it's a delight to hear my brother in the background. Bless you, Brother Will. Bless you from Deacon's home. Okay, so you moved from Arizona. And
bless you.
What was your next? What was your next house? Where'd you go?
So our next house was a house that we rented in Kentucky, and actually my master, he left advance party from the rest of the community, and he stayed at Straightway Tennessee until he found an appropriate home so that we could all move together in one accord. And so then once he found that home, we moved to Kentucky.
Hallelujah. And I hope y'all caught that. You have this man who leaves the community home and leaves his family and travels out closer to Tennessee to find land and looks for it, lands it, gets a home, and then here comes everybody else. Was it a month or so later?
About one month? 2 or 3 months. I think about 2 months. Yeah.
Did when you left Arizona, did anyone get left behind? Did anyone choose to stay in Arizona?
No, ma'am. We came all in one accord. We didn't lose any saints in that move at all. Everybody came together.
Hallelujah. And she had even shared with me, everybody who's listening, she had shared with me how, you know, all of them had it in their heart from the very, very beginning. You know, obviously making moves that quickly, which it probably doesn't feel quickly when you're in it. You know, a year and a half might kind of drag out, but when you look back, that's some quick moving. And I commend you guys for it. Y'all is worthy to be praised. So how was Kentucky, okay, because you even had another move, and we'll introduce that in a minute, but how was that Kentucky home that you guys left Arizona and moved to, how is it different from Arizona? Give me a comparison of those two fellowships. You got the same people, but what was different?
Well, one of the differences in the Kentucky home is that we all moved there together. So it wasn't someplace we already lived and then invited people to. It was like, I think it made a difference in mindset that we all went there together. And in that home, we learned a lot about living communally, a lot about what that looks like and how to organize it. We learned a lot about ourselves when you're living under one roof together for any length of time. You learn about your own wickedness. You can't even avoid it. I think it was a really good time of growth.
And I hope y'all remember my earlier portion of the show.
You see the direction we're going now. You see the contrast. They're completely different-minded people.
I'm so, so, so very thankful for the straight and narrow way and the vision given to Pastor Dow. I can't commend the Father enough. I can't praise him enough. I'm very, very, very thankful because this thing is closing quickly. And to everyone who's doing what they need to be doing, whether you're in a house, whether you're close to fellowship, whether you're stacking funds, just supporting, trying to make moves, trying to pay off debt, bless you for your obedience. I commend this family, this tribe, and Promised Land. So I really wanted to bring to light how they're living. So now we have, you moved from that Kentucky home because you purchased or your husband worked very hard. You guys all put your funds together and purchased another piece of land. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
A piece of land that you can call your own? Is that true? Are you working on that? What's that like?
Yes, ma'am. It's a piece of land that we all now live on, and we are working hard and diligently to build a community there, get our homes in order. Right now we're working on a dining hall.
Beautiful. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
This is really, really good going on in the background. So Promised Land, you live in tents. You live in tents. That's the drum roll for tonight. You left the trumpet. You left Arizona home, fellowship. You moved to Kentucky home. Then you get a land, and now you're parking in tents. And tell me about living in a tent, what it's done for your spirit. How has it helped you?
Living in tents is amazing. I have enjoyed every moment of it. It's a very humbling experience. It's a very basic life, free from a lot of hindrances that maybe you wouldn't even know were hindrances before you lived that way. Living in tents, I don't know. I've never had a problem with it. I think that it's the living in tents and the toting water and the lack of electricity and things like that are those things you can overcome pretty easily, just simply because you can't tell the heat to go away. You know, you can't get snippy because, you know, your phone isn't charged or whatever. You don't got electricity. Those are things that you don't have any control over. So we kind of know, like as human beings, that we just have to deal with it. And where the struggle happens is in relationships, in the community, because we are dealing with all those other things. But like I said, we can't, you know, if we manifest at the tent that we're living in, the tent doesn't care, right? But if we go off on our sister, it's something totally different. So in an indirect way, living that way helps to strengthen our relationship because we have to overcome to help one another. And if we didn't live that way, we wouldn't be challenged to overcome those things in our relationship. We wouldn't even know that we needed those challenges, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, it makes sense. It's the straight and narrow way. And I know you've even told me in times past that it's humbled you. It's humbled you greatly. How have you lost anyone now, going from home to land to tents, and not knowing when everything will be finished, but just admiring the process of this is not the end. This is just a stepping stone. And you wouldn't even it wouldn't even matter if it was an end. But at the same time, have you lost anyone in this process?
No. In fact, at each subsequent move, we have taken every member of Promised Land with us and have even gained members. So we are increasing, not decreasing.
Amazing. So give me a variety of ages. Just shoot some ages. Like when you moved into your tents, what's the drastic differences from the oldest to the youngest?
The youngest member of Promised Land is 1, and the oldest member of Promised Land is getting ready to turn 70.
Wow.
Amazing, right, y'all?
Yeah.
70 in a tent. That's so humble. Your tribe, you guys are so humble, and maybe because of how you live, but then again, it's just your gratefulness and your love for the Father, because you couldn't do what you do if you didn't have it. And it's really admirable. So, interesting story, huh, y'all?
Yeah.
Nice to hear. Hallelujah. Hey, my crowd, my audience wants to blow the shofar for your love and your sacrifice. So hold tight. All praises go to y'all. Hallelujah. Tell us about growing closer. You mentioned it. You mentioned the relationships a little bit, the ups and downs, the conditions. Yes, you're hauling water. You don't have electricity. Tell me about relationships. Can you just escape and go where you want to go and flee from any form of contention inside you?
No, you cannot, even if you wanted to.
That sounds so much like bondage. Rachel, I don't get it. That sounds like bondage. Why the hell can't I go where the hell I want to go, when I want to go, and drive what I want to drive to get there? Please explain. I know it's the one mind that we share. And you're how many hours are you from me?
3.5.
So that's pretty cool because Pastor Dow's not there, and he's not ruling with an iron thumb there. So we can't really fault him for what you guys have going on. You know, he's from a distance accused of so many things. And he has no influence over your day-to-day life, though his message, the gospel message, is what you guys live by. So let me jump back to your relationships. You're living in tents. You're not escaping the heat, or you're not escaping it often. You mentioned that you worship and you fellowship and you praise. Give me the full dynamics of relationships for you.
I'm sorry, maybe I don't understand the question about worship and praise.
Yes, give me a very well-rounded explanation of your relationships, because I'm sure there are times you have to talk face-to-face with someone, and then you also share worship and praise together. So just give me an example of your dynamics and your relationships on your land.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I guess, I suppose because my master is the head of the community, that places me in a position of being a lead sister with the other sisters and, you know, having to be the one to organize you know, the household chores and meals and grocery shopping and things like that. And oftentimes, you know, I'm here to counsel with the other sisters if they need or help with deliverances and things like that. But we also do fellowship together and worship together. So there's a balance. There has to be a balance there.
Do you have instruments?
Oh, yes.
What do you have?
When we worship, we get down. So we have drums, we have a triangle, we have maracas, we have keyboards, piano, many guitars, ukuleles of all kinds. We basically, yeah, we just have a lot of instruments. Eden even has a trumpet. Yeah, we got a lot. And we love to worship together.
Wow, this is great, right, y'all?
Yes.
Okay, so let me bring up a wonderful part of your community. His name is Amaziah.
Yes.
And who is Amaziah to you, and who is he to the community? Introduce him to the audience.
Amaziah is a boy that my master and I are raising. I consider him to be a son. He's 4 years old. And biologically, he is Sister Candace's nephew. He is her brother's son. But he is not able to be in the picture right now, nor is Amaziah's biological mother. So there was a need for somebody to care for him, and my master agreed to take him, and so we are raising him.
Beautiful. I want to pause in the interview for a minute and introduce that concept to the audience, and I'm going to jump to Exodus 22 to do that. So I'm going to just share a few things that have nothing to do with Amaziah building up, because these are laws about social justice. These are laws given to us, you know, written on our hearts and in our people. So, for example, if a man entice a maid that is not betrothed and lie with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. Okay, that is a law for his conduct and his behavior in order to reverence the woman that he lie with, that he would endow her to be his wife, right? That he would not just cast her out. Next, if her let's go this way. Whosoever lie with a beast shall surely be put to death. That's our law. He that sacrifice, I'm going somewhere, sacrifice unto any god except unto the Most High shall be utterly destroyed. You shall not vex a stranger. You ever thought about that? When Jesus also said it, you know, don't lay a stumbling block before these children. Ye shall neither vex a stranger nor oppress him. Okay, that's a behavioral characteristic that we're supposed to, you know, if someone is a stranger, someone's new, if someone's wondering, asking, coming along, don't be responsible for offending them. It says, for ye were once strangers in the land of Egypt. Okay? So she just introduces Amaziah. And Exodus 22:22 says, ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Okay? So Amaziah's father is not currently in the picture, so Brother Will takes him and becomes a father to him. That's huge to a child, right? And then Rachel becomes mother to him, and of course he has the entire tribe, the tribal unit, that has this law upon their hearts. Shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. I want to bring that up because we weren't nurtured correctly, and therefore we can easily lack producing that nurture. And so you have to, if you want to, you have to reach for it. You have to reach for how to be tender, and you have to reach for how to nurture. And there's a lot of children in our ministry that need you, each of us. And so Amaziah, as well as many other children maybe in your communities, really need you. And it's a good thing to ponder who you are to them, if anything at all. You know, are you anything to them at all? So at once he was potentially a fatherless child, or the father wasn't in the picture, and now he has a very strong family unit to build his spirit, and I'm really, really grateful for that. And it's not just him. I commend Brother Brett, who raises his own brother, who's never even been a father or had seed from his loins yet. And this tribal dynamic happening amongst us is very, very beautiful. And so let's jump back. So now we introduced this young boy named Amaziah. But you had mentioned to me that you were just recently, you know, talking with the sisters and the family there about Amaziah. Would you mind sharing any of the nurturing tips that you have in your heart?
Yes, ma'am. Well, the conversation that we had here among the sisters was in regard to loving children that don't belong to you, that didn't come out of your womb, and what that needs to look like, and how detrimental it is for you to do that. So the conversation went something like, you know, Amaziah doesn't have his mom or his dad here. He only has you. He only has you all and me. And, you know, each and all the other children at Promised Land have at least one of their parents with them. But this child doesn't have any of his parents with him right now. So we're called by the Messiah to take care of widows and orphans and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And by all intents and purposes, Amaziah would qualify as an orphan right now. So we have to take care of him, and that means providing his needs for love, affection, the nurturing that you speak of, not just the physical needs, not just the food and the clothes and everything, but for him to feel like he is part of the tribe and to feel accepted and as loved as the other children. And I find it, I find that it is difficult for women to truly love children that they did not bear. And it's unfortunate, but the thing that I pointed out is that, you know, you're gonna stand accountable for that someday. So if you do not have that straight in your heart and your mind, you need to go get it straight, because we are all together in this, and we are all in community. All of our children, we all correct each other's children. We all discipline each other's children. We all help each other. And so we need to all love each other's children just as much, every bit as much as we love our own.
Hallelujah. I want to take your thought even a step further for a second, because I'm really, you speak well, sound to the point. I'm going to keep saying that. It's a great interview. And you said that, you know, sisters or women have a hard time loving what didn't come out of their womb. And that is true. I'm going to take it a step further and say that your love as a mother for your own children is in question if you can't love someone else's, because the love that you would have for your own, if you truly understood the full measure of that love, you would easily be able to express it for another man or woman's child. And so it's definitely something I've learned. It's been a beautiful process. It's been a lot of my meditations. I'm willing to pour everything I have into those behind me. And if you find yourself void of love for your own children and void of nurture and void of affection and a void of care, you're definitely going to mistreat someone else's. Let's jump to, all right, so you go from a big house to a tent. We got that. What are some of the hardships? You said no water, you said no electricity, but is there something else that will pop to mind with that question? Have you covered it all? Hardships.
Yeah, we've learned how to cook outdoors. We've learned how to cook everything that we make outdoors.
Wow.
No kitchen.
And
no
kitchen.
Stove, no oven.
No stove, no oven.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. So homeschool, public school? What do you do?
We homeschool exclusively.
You homeschool exclusively. You have a, for example, out of all the children there, let's just pick your 14-year-old, Josiah. What's some of the things that he can do outside of school that benefits the land?
Oh, Josiah. Josiah is learning so much and has learned so much simply by living in community. As we build up, he has learned how to hang drywall, how to frame walls, how to install windows and doors, how to install insulation. Goodness gracious.
Work on generators.
Work on generators. Really, Josiah is our go-to guy. He's 14 years old, but he's kind of a jack of all trades at this point.
So we hear hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Definitely offering a better opportunity for those coming behind us, and praise y'all for the fruit that you guys are putting out. So, how do you bathe?
Well, we up until recently, we bathed in our tents in like a tote or a bucket with a pitcher of water. And then we did for a little while, we had like, we did a makeshift shower where we hung this solar shower up. But it didn't work out very well. The pitcher in the bucket, that's what's up. That's where it's at. That's the best shower you can get, I think. But about 2 weeks ago, my master rented an apartment in town. And so now we rotate through and we are able to take an actual shower at that apartment. But up until then, during this whole summer long, we just bathe in our tents.
And our almost 70-year-old brother Nelson, did he want to go to that apartment?
No, he did not. He still to this day doesn't really want to be at the apartment. when we got the apartment, it was with a lot of things in mind. It was to make sure that we had the resources we needed and to make sure that we could get the young and the elderly out of the elements if they needed to. Brother Sam, he did not want to go to the apartment, and his Ishaya and their children really didn't want to either. They're submitted to Brother Will, and so they stay there the majority of the time. But I believe they're it was determined a couple of days ago that they're going to go ahead and put their tent back up so that they don't have to stay at the apartment all the time. They can come out and be with the rest of the community.
That's beautiful, beautiful. So a lot of people have, and I don't want to get too private into anything for the honor of your husband and how y'all do things, but a lot of people wonder about money, you know, from community to community. Do you believe that your community is giving all or at least all of what is required of them to, you know, to build and to get you guys where you need to be?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, I believe that everybody's giving all or what is required of them. You know, my husband gives a really good example of that because he gives everything. Nothing really goes through his hands. And so, without us all being in together 100%, it would be impossible to do what we're doing.
Earlier, when you and I had talked, I'm going to say two different things. So you came out here this week and you helped us, you and your team. Thank you to all of them. And thank you to even my sister Nikki, who stayed behind and did what she needed to do. You came to help us. Do you remember what some of the things that you did while you were here all in one day?
Yes, ma'am. We harvested green beans and cleaned up the green bean beds. We processed the green beans. We also harvested Swiss chard and processed that. We processed some jalapenos. Some of the sisters processed some green tomatoes and made salsa verde. I know there was a lot of canning going on in the kitchen. I didn't get to participate in that. But there was a lot of, I know my daughters helped plant some seeds for the fall garden. And they did some more weeding and harvesting of okra on the following day too. It was a lot. It was a lot going on.
And lastly, the apples.
Oh, yes, and the apples, yeah. We processed apples. Forgot about that.
I'm sorry, you can go ahead. We made apple butter, and you brought your juicer that I asked you to bring, and you juiced some apples for us. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah.
So I'm going to wrap it up, but I remember you had some tears in your eyes when I had gotten to this part of chatting with you, and I said, talk about your husband for a minute, how he is as a leader, and let me pause you. We have some men, all of us as a ministry, we have men in front of us that are charged, and I know they feel that charging. I know they feel it's not an ungodly pressure at all. It's just a righteous motivation to push forward and to lead. And I know they feel that responsibility upon them. And you speak so highly of your husband's leadership, but I personally have an experience at a community know that it would all crumble without a strong man, every single bit of it, 100,000 times over. Every community we have in the ministry, we crumble without a strong man. And so you said, you know, my husband's a command man, so you were a little bit intimidated going to him and giving him a command from another man. But at the same time, him being able to discern a man speaking to him, even from a distance, a pastor sending a message that says, you know, be there, be here, get here. So can you explain to the audience what you witnessed from behind the scenes in supporting your husband as he leads the people? I know I'm broad in my questions, but I just want to hear your heart about your husband, about what he does.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I do have a special privilege of seeing things from behind the scenes, and some of the things that just continue to leave me in awe about my husband is his ability to truly love, his patience and long suffering, his diplomacy in dealing with people, his fair judgment, just things that I know are not in me, but I admire about him. It makes me want to be a better person. You know, it makes me want to love better, give more. He's probably one of the most giving and courageous people I have ever met in my life.
Beautiful. And so I remember, so no one knows this part of the interview. On fourth day when you came out and we sat down for a period of time, and I said, I got to pick your brain about how you live, because I'm not going to have Monday dinner for this week, and I need some content, and I want to have your great testimony to share. And so we sat down and we talked, and I actually audibly recorded the interview that she gave me, and it was not in vain, because that's where I'm pulling my information from even tonight. At first I thought I would perhaps read it or share it from just my perspective. But to know how well she speaks and how highly she speaks of him and her experience, it's better for you to hear from her. So anyway, here we are. And her daughter walked over. Eden is 17. Precious spirit, changing, growing, learning. 17, y'all. 17. Think about a young woman that's 17 years old. Doesn't have a problem bathing in a tote, you know, didn't mind the humbling process that she's experienced, had beautiful words to say about Brother Will as well, She loves the experience, and she loves her family. And so that was really awesome for me to hear. But jumping to you, Sister Rachel, is there anything, any praises that you can give the Most High Yah for the people that you're with, for the place that you're at? Just any final words?
Yes. I just praise and thank the Most High Yah every day for the unity that He's given us here with one another, for the headship that He's given us with Brother Will. I believe that the Father picked him for that particular job because he's well equipped for it. I'm thankful that each of us is striving, that we were able to come into this ministry and learn how to be clean and learn each day how to love each other more and more. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to live together. We just wouldn't be able to do what we're doing. There's pretty much no aspect of this whole thing that I couldn't give credit to Yah for. He's been truly, how do I say it? He's had his hand in everything, and I'm really grateful.
Hallelujah. Thank you in advance for your commitments at this feast, for always making yourself available, even though you are a small crowd of, you know, maybe six sisters, right? Three adult sisters, two young, if I'm correct. And you guys are, yes, you produced our water the entire feast last year. You made sure that we never ran out of water. That's a big responsibility. This year she's doing the same thing, as well as stepping in and helping out in the kitchen with breakfast, et cetera. Thank y'all so much. They are in a current rotation of coming and, you know, every other week to see us. And then tell everybody what your Sabbath is like on the week that you don't get to make it to Straightway. Where do you gather? What do you do?
Well, we gather together in our dining hall, and we run a generator that can run the television. And since we don't have internet or anything like that, somebody will hook their phone up to the TV and will, I guess, is it called streaming, honey? It's called casting. We cast the service onto the TV, and then we are able to worship together with everyone still and enjoy the service and listen to the sermon together.
I love to see your young men praise. I love to see your community grow. We're going to grow old together, you and I, and I and you, and so many of the sisters that are a part of this family. Thank you for your call, your commitment. Anything else? Anything you want to say?
Just hallelujah. Praise Yah for everything. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Bless you. Bless you. I'm going to let you go. Give everybody a big hug for me. Really, really give everybody a big hug. All my sisters there. I love you. I'll see you soon. This
yes,
is your Shabbat
yes.
rotation, right? You'll be here in a few days?
Yes, we'll be there in a few days. Love you dearly.
Love you dearly. Yes, indeed. Bless you, Sister Rachel. Everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bye, Sister Rachel.
Bye.
That was so weak.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Everybody shouting out to her
Bye.
Daughters as well. Volcanologist. Is that what it said? Thank you,
yes.
Mama Deidre. And Dutch Sins. Sister Wenda, you and I are sisters because that's the one. That's the one that I would follow so often. Years past, Dutch Sins for all the earthquakes. Sister Bonnie, I sent you a polo because I'm gonna share this openly. This was a nice find. So we have this schoolhouse, and we get to join efforts and have this wonderful education experience, you know, homeschool experience. And my uncle Bud, I say uncle because he's such an uncle to the boys, but my brother Bud, a master builder, has built something for me. Let me explain. It is probably $150. It's not probably. It is $150 on up to $300 or so to buy a very large whiteboard. The reason I'm sharing this information is perhaps other communities would want to know. And so whiteboards are expensive, and I'm learning how to teach writing. I've been listening to a very old teacher named Andrew Petro, if I'm saying his last name right. He's from the Institute of Excellence in Writing, super intelligent, and he teaches a teacher how to teach writing. And so I've been putting my efforts and my time into that. And in his explanation of writing, which is, you got to see a little bit this morning, Tammy.
Yes,
he's really good, huh?
Yes.
He's really good, y'all. I wouldn't put anybody out there. Yes, very entertaining. He was a teacher in the 80s and 90s. So I really like to go back into time when I, you know, even when I'm finding something for the children to watch at times, like Pastor says, Schoolhouse Rock, you know. And so I'm listening to this man. He says, if you want a whiteboard, you don't go buy those expensive ones. And this was in the, you know, the 90s when he was saying it. You go to your Home Depot or your Lowe's and you pick up, I can't say it right, starts with the M, mellophane or something, a white mellophane board. They usually put them behind showers. And they're like 17, 18 bucks. And no, I think he said 15, 16. It was $17.98. I just got one. But you guys, it was 4 feet. I just went out the other day and got it. 4 feet by 8 feet. You know how big that is? 4 feet by 8 feet. And it cost me $17.98 plus tax. And I brought it home to Uncle Bud, who had already committed to building a frame for it and putting it on wheels for me. It's beautiful, like you bought it straight out of a, I don't know, it probably cost $600, really, if I looked online. So it has its own stand and its own wheels, and you can turn it and move it and push it against the wall if you need to. You know, my wall space is limited, and I honestly don't want to tear up the walls because the facility we're in could be a home at any given time, too. So taking care of the walls in there. I got a beautiful, I'll send you another video, Sister Bonnie. I like to keep her posted because Georgia follows us so closely with school. And I pray that each of you, all of you, are kicking off your homeschool year with good efforts. I'll share this tidbit. He does teach that it's wise not to tell the child, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Okay? By that constant repetition, they start eliminating a lot of things off their list of possibilities in their little heads to do. So he says he really teaches, how about this, and let's do that, and I'll be right back, you know. Do it this way. I'll come check on you, you know. And so our children are definitely going to be the best version of themselves if we do the best version of ourselves for them. Hallelujah. It's a very selfless thing. Most, you know, being a teacher, being a mom requires all of you every day. No flesh. All of you every day. But y'all, hope you enjoyed the interview. Did everybody enjoy it?
Yeah.
Definitely different angle than usual shows, but y'all gotta, you know, some of y'all probably didn't even know that was going on, huh? Nope. Amanda's going, nope. They had no clue that somebody's coming every other week that lives in a tent. Did you know, Nadia? You did know. But bless y'all. Anything else? Come on. Don't let me forget an announcement. Has anybody got one? Sister Sakina?
Oh.
Yes, Tammy. The children's thing.
Yes.
Yes, we announced the children's thing. And Sister Granny Diane, is in correspondence with some sisters behind the scenes trying to get a great organization and team together for small children's activities for about 4 days. Out of the feast. Granny, if you're listening, you gave me the exact dates verbally today. Was it? I'm not going to guess, because if I guess and I'm wrong, then everybody might memorize the wrong date. Bless y'all. Y'all bring your offering, first and foremost, bring your offering. Bring it no matter how small or great it is. And thank you to so many communities that are bringing items of food, whether it's meat or chips or cheese or meatballs or bacon or, you know, so many times the communities pitch in to bring food items. Giving you just a guess, if we have our meatball meal, it's going to be $800 for that meat, and that's just one dinner, right? So thanks to everybody who gives any form of prayer or offering. Thank you to our shepherd. Can everybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
For our shepherd for leading the way. We love you from a distance, Pastor. Don't see you every day. Don't get to hug you anymore. I'm a grown woman. Hallelujah. Raising your grandchildren now. But we love you from a distance. Thank you to every man who supports him, every woman who supports her man. This is the Straightway Truth, and you've heard a beautiful testimony of how we're willing to come out of her, live separate, and follow the King. Bless y'all, and shalom, shalom. Let's hit it and hear our song, Chef.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan Straightway-heimoani ja siskojani.
Ani ivriya miIsrael, ohevet et shevet Straightway veachyotai.
I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de Straightway y también a mis hermanas.
Sa koka Hebrew gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugma na ako ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon na ako nga babay.
Mwe seyon Hebrew. Mwe fet Haiti. Mwe reme Straightway trib mwe esemyo.
Australia. I am a Hebrew from Australia and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Japan. Watashi wa 日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストレイウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada? I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.